Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we're responding to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of a Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary and I'm your Drive Time host this wonderful Thursday afternoon. Thank you so much for choosing to spend just a little bit of time with us as we share some really good things on yet another beautiful afternoon. Now, of course, Thursday is normally the day that Pastor Caden would be down here with Lindy, but Caden can't do it. It's school holidays, so he's actually taken the week off to spend with family, and that's fantastic, and we'd certainly encourage that. But that means that I am coming to join you once again, and I love Drive Time. Fantastic to be able to sit down and to share with my co-host, and of course that's Lindy Sperring. Now, this week we've taken as our theme radical teachings from the parables of Jesus, and today we're actually going to be looking at a story that challenges the thinking of what I'd call Joe Average. It's actually called the parable of the talents, and yes, as is our normal practice, all our responses must come from the Word of God, from the Scriptures themselves, because we believe that that's exactly the very best place to receive the wisdom that we need for running the life that we are living today. And of course, as I just mentioned, my co-host for today is Lindy Sperring, and Lindy has actually worked in ministry for many years and has had a real emphasis on certainly prayer ministry and also on the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's fantastic to have Lindy in the studio on yet another Thursday afternoon. Welcome to you, Lindy.
Pastor Gary, what a pleasure to be here.
It is fantastic to have you in the studio. Tell me, are you exhausted yet? Because I'm just conscious that every time I look at you, you're in a different location, you're running a different meeting, you've got another project underway.
Yes.
You are probably one of the hardest working people that I know of.
I don't know about that, but I perhaps have a lot of energy and quite a few responsibilities, but yeah, thankful to the Lord that he gives me the strength and energy that I need. You know, Pastor Gary, last weekend we went along to the Vincent programs by Dr. Neil Schofield. And at the beginning of each program, we went the Friday night and the Saturday night.
Now, the Vincent program, just tell us what that is, because I've heard some really good things about this.
Yes, well, Dr. Neil Schofield is quite passionate about artwork. And so he presented a fantastic program and insight into the life of Vincent van Gogh and his Christian experience. It was really uplifting and very, very powerful.
Wow.
And most Australians know a little bit about some of the paintings. And I know I sang a song about Vincent many, many years ago and played my guitar. But yes, it was a really powerful program. But I was very surprised sitting there. There was a program published and promoted Treasures of the Past, and there was this voiceover, and I thought, boy, that voice sounds familiar. Well, it was you, Pastor Gary, promoting the next lot of programs to happen, Treasures of the Past at the Domain Theatre, and Pastor Caden Pepper will be doing it. So it was very powerful promotion.
Oh, I haven't heard it myself, actually.
Oh, really?
I'd actually like to hear that. I mean, that's one of those things that you do tend to get involved in.
Yes,
In this type of ministry. But look, let's come to our World Watch. And today, it actually comes from the Crosswalk news site. And this article's a real little ripper. To me, I read it and I thought, oh, what? And I just, it was with a bit of a smile on my face, a wry smile on my face. So, let me share with you in that context. The title of the article was Glorify, which is the name of an app, unveils the world's first Christian smart ring designed to strengthen daily faith. Now, when I read this article, I sort of thought, hey, I mean, maybe this is something that Lindy might like to go and invest in.
Yeah,
now,
this is
what the article said. The co-founder of one of the world's most popular Christian apps says his company's newest product began with a simple question. What if wearable technology could help strengthen your walk with Christ? That's the vision behind the new Glorify Ring, which is being promoted by the world's first, as the world's first Christian smart ring. And unlike traditional smart devices, is designed to nurture a user's spiritual life. The ring includes a gentle vibration reminders that prompt users to pause for prayer and devotion throughout the day. It also features a built-in voice recording technology that lets users capture everything from prayer requests to Bible notes to spiritual insights. The recordings, up to 70 minutes on a single charge, have to plug your ring in for a charge, are automatically organized and transferred to the Glorify app. Henry Costa, co-founder of Glorify, described it as being a big step forward in faith-focused technology. "We're always looking for ways that can help people grow in their faith," he told Crosswalk Headlines. How can we help people not get distracted? How can we help remind people to stay in that routine? This is a brand new frontier. Unlike the smartphone app, that can easily be ignored or forgotten, the ring remains with users throughout the day, offering subtle prompts to reconnect with God without adding another screen to their lives, he noticed. "It's a gentle, soft vibration that reminds you to connect with God," he said. The voice recording feature is activated by tracing the sign of the cross across the ring with your thumb and deactivated the same way. The Glorify Ring is available for pre-order at an introductory price of, this is US, $199 US, that's what about $350 Australian, through to September 30 before increasing to $299 with shipments beginning in early 2027. So for $500 full price, you can actually have one of these rings, Lindy. Now, Lindy, can I just ask you, you're a lady, you're going to be buying a ring, and would you wear the ring?
Pastor Gary, I think you've set me up tonight for sure, because just looking at this article and I'm looking at the rings, there's a nice pink one, I suppose, for the ladies, and a nice grey black one for the men. I just can't see how wearing something like that is going to really work throughout the day, because if you're busy and you're working, you know, just these little prompts throughout the day, and it's fairly expensive. It seems like it's...
Is it a sanctified scam?
Well, it seems a little far-fetched, really. Like, I was just... When you said about you turn on, you put the cross on it with your thumb... Well, where's the ring that you're going to use your thumb to do it? Have to be on another hand or something. I'm just not quite sure how it would work. I think that it could be interruptive when you're driving or doing, you know, particular work. You wouldn't be allowed to wear that in some workplaces. I can see a whole lot of challenges. Look, it might work for some people who perhaps do a lot of walking and they just want to not carry their phone, perhaps, and listen to some scripture or...
This wearable technology is certainly becoming an amazing new frontier.
It is.
In so many different areas. I mean, glasses, you can have wearable technology. A ring, you can have wearable technology. You've got to ask, you know, when do you actually get a break from this? You know, one of the things that I really appreciate, certainly in my morning devotional time, is actually having a quiet time.
Yes, I agree.
Having a peace time, a time when I can just stop and listen. To the Holy Spirit speaking to me. But Linda, look, you're into prayer ministry.
Yes.
This ring, of course, you know, I mean, okay, it profits the makers no end. But it's presented actually as an attempt to get believers praying consistently. Now, you know, when I've travelled, I've actually seen Muslims stop at the appointed hour and they pray. In fact, on one particular occasion, I will remember having a tour guide, and he didn't realise at the start that it was a group of of pastors that he was actually guiding. But when he realized that, well, I mean, he started to share his faith. And we actually said to him, we said, look, do you pray at the appointed hour? And he said, I'm a backslidden Muslim. I don't pray at the appointed hour. But he certainly didn't drink. He certainly did all the other types of things, but he regarded himself as a backslidden Muslim. But look, the thing that really impressed me about certainly the Muslims that I encountered was the fact that they actually did have, they planned for an appointed hour to pray. Now, look, in Christianity, is consistency needed? And how do I build that into my prayer life? And have we lost something in more recent years by simply, I suppose, having prayer as something that I fit in when I can sort of fit it in?
Mm. I think it can be a trap, really, not to actually make particular time each day to spend with the Lord. I call it being plugged into the source of power. Like the lights here in the studio, like the screens are connected to power. If we're not connected to that power on a regular basis, we're not recharging. I mean, just like these rings, they only last for a certain amount of minutes. Personally, I think they're a bit of a have, because eventually after a while, you're just going to ignore it. You might set it, you're going to ignore it.
And you've actually got to plug in your ring. I mean, to me, I don't know about you, but I find it challenging enough to remember to plug my phone in let alone a ring on my hand.
And it's going to interrupt you at different times when you're busy. And really, if you want to connect with the source of power, if you want to connect with Father God, you need to have a quiet space, a quiet, you know, like the Bible talks about going into your closet, doesn't it? Going into a quiet space and connecting with God, whereas this is going to be more public. I think it's really recognizing your need of connecting with God, your need of praying.
Need to plan a time? I mean, there are certainly some people who say that, look, you know, yes, I have a prayer, but, you know, it's sort of on the bus when I'm traveling to work.
Sure. I think we do need to make an appointed time or appointed hour and a place. Like I have my own room where I have prayer and my chair. And
do you have an appointed time?
Yes, I do. I do it every morning when I wake up. Now, when I say appointed time, on the days I might sleep in a bit longer, it's when I get up. That would be about the first thing that I would do because I know I need that. Now, that doesn't stop me from praying to God while I'm driving the car to work or in my office, might lay my head on the desk and pray over a particular issue. We pray over the equipment here. We can pray at any time in any place, but having that special appointed time to read God's word and spend time in prayer will make all the difference. And I don't like to tell people, Pastor Gary, oh, you must do it as soon as you get up. You know, it's good when you wake up to recognize, thank you, Lord, for another day. And then perhaps you have your special time. But some people are better off having it in the evenings. Some people have young children that wake them up, so they need to find another time. So, you know, God is flexible with us. He doesn't expect, you know.
So has technology actually become a distraction?
I believe not only has it become a distraction, but I'm a little bit careful about having too much technology close to my body anyway. Like I know people are wearing smart watches and now obviously we've got smart rings. Smart television, they're all smart. They're so smart that I don't know how to use half of them. That's how smart they are. And so I just don't want technology just affecting my health as well because there is information now to say. So you've got to weigh it up, I suppose. I'll be interested to see how many they sell of these smart rings.
Yeah. I know in my own life, Lindy, one of the things that certainly I value most is being able to spend time first thing in the morning with the God of heaven. You know, to be able to go into my office, just close the door, to be able to I like to be able to read something. In fact, right now I'm reading through a book entitled Desire of Ages. Love that little book. It's a book that talks about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Spend a little bit of time reading there, and then to be able to spend some time certainly just praying,
yes,
to me is a really beautiful beautiful time of the day. And it's something that you actually look forward to. That's the thing that, to me, I think is so wonderful about this this practice. Now, most people don't actually realize. They think it's a little bit of a trial. It's not actually become right. something that you look forward to.
Because it's a relationship. It's part of your relationship. Yeah. And it's part of you strengthening the spiritual aspect in your life. You know, I like to read a chapter of the Bible every day, and at night we're reading a great book called The Great Controversy in our worship time, my husband and I, and I just can't believe how blessed I am. I'm like, I'm reading these things and I'm feeling uplifted. My eyes are opened. I'm not getting so anxious about what's going on in the world. So praise God.
I think there's something here too, Lindy, about actually physically reading as opposed to simply watching something on a screen, because I know that when I'm reading, my mind actually slows down. I'm not being constantly shoveled.
Or overstimulated.
Or overstimulated mm-hmm. with a blue screen. Mm-hmm. And to me, folks, look, I just encourage you, you know, look, if you haven't, if you have maybe had the practice of just spending a quiet time with God, if you've had that just fall aside, why not just reinstitute that practice into your own personal life sometime during the day when you can be quiet? Because, you know, my friends, it becomes quite addictive after you've certainly engaged in the practice over just a short period of time. Anyway, look, let's come to some music. This is a really beautiful, I love this particular hymn of faith. Jason Cork, and it's the Holy, Holy City. Please enjoy this wonderful traditional hymn of faith.
Last night I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven an answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and see. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to my dream has changed. The streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery. The morn was cold and chill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again, the scene was changed. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea.
The light of God was on the streets. The gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore.
And that was Jason Cork, and he was singing The Holy City. Oh, I love that. That's certainly one of the great traditional hymns of faith. If you haven't heard that that hymn of faith before, then you've missed something really, really good. I want to do a big shout out too to Christina. Christina just wrote in concerning our previous discussion and really made a good comment. Thank you so much for this, Christina. Hi, Pastor Gary. I think a smart ring is a terrible rip-off gimmick. What a big waste of money and a con. I believe if someone wants to pray, God will prompt them and bless them. An electronic alarm ring seems crazy. Do you know, I really appreciate what you actually said there. If someone wants to pray, God will bless them. You know, one of the things I've actually challenged a number of people to do is, look, if you want to get up early in the morning, just ask God, just pray to him and ask him to wake you up. You'll be surprised at the result, because I have seen this happen so many times. The Lord does indeed prompt people to pray if they ask him to be prompted. I love the way the Lord God does work with humanity on this entire issue. And now, folks, look, we've got a really beaut giveaway book for you this week at Drive Time. This week's book's entitled Living Kingdom, and this is by Jared Stackelroth. In fact, Jared, I believe, is the editor of this. And what Jared has actually done is compiled a number of fresh perspectives on the parables of Jesus. These are perspectives that you might not have thought about previously. 27 contemporary writers share fresh, relevant, thoughtful, faithful, inspiring, and at times challenging perspectives on the parables of Christ. Now, folks, look, if you want to be able to maybe start an early morning Bible study and prayer routine, why not get yourself some sort of a devotional book where you can do a short reading, just read for just 10 minutes or so, and then spend a little bit of time in prayer. I'll tell you what will happen, my friends. Your time with God will pray. It will grow as you pray to the God of heaven. This book is one of those books that you might like to consider a reading. Look, if you'd like your own copy, why not request your own copy of Living Kingdom? Now, this is totally free. All you've got to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 04-888-8011. 04-888-8011. 80811, and in your text, just simply put the code SA425. That's just five digits in a row. No gap between the SA and the 425, just SA for South Australia, 425. And that'll come through to our robot, and our robot will come back to you, ask you just a couple of questions so that we can get this book to you in the fastest way possible. SA425, and that code again is, and that number again is 0488. 80811. You'll love this little book. I'd like to recommend it to you. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Pastor Gary and also with Lindy Sperring. And this week, we've taken as our theme radical teachings from the parables of Jesus. And today, we're looking at a story that's challenged the thinking of so many people over the years. It's actually called the parable of the talents. Look, Lindy, let me come to you if I can. We live in very much in an age of celebrity. It seems that a huge number of people want a notoriety. Now, even in the Christian church, we've entered into an age of, I suppose we'd call it the celebrity preacher. It's almost as though, you know, people who sit in the pews are happy to pay and pray, often just simply pay, and leave ministry to the highly talented professional celebrity that leads worship. Possibly in other cases to leave it to institutionalized ministry. And yet we're talking today about a parable that really challenges this mindset. What's it say to you? What is the parable firstly, and what does it say to you?
Well, it's a fantastic parable, Pastor Gary, and it's in Matthew 25:14-30. And it talks about, in fact, let me just go back. You know, parables to me are a bit like a picture. And listening to Pastor Neil just recently, Dr. Neil, about Vincent and how much you get out of a picture, a parable's like that. There's so much depth to a parable. Rather than Jesus just saying something for what it is, he gives this parable, this story, and it gives you a picture. And so here he's saying, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey. And so here you see this man who's obviously well-to-do, and Jesus is comparing the kingdom of heaven to this man. He calls his servants and he gives 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1 talent. And so according to their ability. And so I take this to mean that there are some people who are very talented in lots of areas. There are others perhaps who aren't as talented. And there are some who perhaps struggle to perhaps even find one of their talents, depending on their ability. And yet we know in this parable that the first 2 servants gained double on their talents. They invested their...
They actually worked on their talents, and as a result, the first one who had 5 talents, he got he ended up with 10 talents.
The
second one who had 2 talents, he traded. He came back with 4. So there's been 100% return.
But
then
there's
on both of those.
But the last one, what did he do? It says that he was fearful, he was frightened. And not trusting. And so he went and dug it and put it in the ground and hid the Lord's money. And so this man that traveled to a far country, he wasn't very happy when he came back.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has probably got lots of different levels of this parable on how we can apply it. Like you were saying about there are celebrity preachers, and look, in some churches you'll find there are some people who seem very talented. They can do so many different things, and others who can't do as many.
Do you think there's actually a danger of, the rest of us becoming a little envious of those people that have got, you know, I mean, I look up there and I say, hey, don't I wish, you know, I mean, I envy those people who can really, you know, who can sing and who can, they play the piano, yes. Then they get up and they are able to preach. And, okay, I can do, well, maybe one of those things, but I, you know, I certainly, I mean, if it comes to music, I mean, I've never been invited to, you know, I mean.
Sing in the choir, hey?
Never ever in the choir. You don't put me in a choir, you know, that's not where you put me.
But I think the point is, Pastor Gary, when we're born, we all have different capabilities, if you like, whether we use them for the Lord or not. And I believe that this parable is saying the Lord, God knows who's going to multiply their talents, who's going to use their talents, who's going to invest their talents, probably. And perhaps they have the capability, the time, the resources, the energy, whatever it takes. And so some, as you say, get five, some two, some less. I don't know if you sort of think about in a church situation, they often do like spiritual gifts analysis to see what your gifts are and how you're able to function. And yeah, I just think we should go back to this parable like, the Lord was happy with those who multiplied. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. In other words, and he invites him to enter into the joy of the Lord. If we have some talents and we use them to further God's kingdom, we use them and multiply them and use them to influence others, then we are going to receive more.
And you know, Lindy, one of the things that I think we often actually overlook is the value of even one talent. Because, you know, a lot of people don't actually realize that a talent, of course, in Jesus' day, and he's actually telling the story, is actually a weight, a unit of weight. Mm. It's not actually a measure of money. It's a unit of weight. You actually needed a huge number of coins to equal a talent of weight. Mm. And what Christ is actually saying here, I believe, is that even the person with one talent has got an ability to make a contribution that sometimes we even overlook ourselves.
Look, absolutely. And this third servant, he was fearful and he didn't trust and he dug a hole and buried his single talent and it wasn't multiplied. He didn't invest it. He didn't put time into it. He didn't trust that God would give him what he needed to achieve.
I think here, Lindy, there is a real lesson, certainly for those who are involved in ministry or those who would like to be involved in ministry. Do you know, Lindy, many years ago, I actually was the pastor of a church. It was a small country church. It was one of my, it was actually the first church that I was trusted with myself. And at that church, there was a lady, she didn't feel that she had many talents. She didn't feel that she could serve. But there was one thing she was able to do that I stood in absolute awe of. Mm-hmm. And it's a gift that, to me, I hadn't rated all that highly. You know, Lindy, what I'm conscious of is that sometimes we actually rate various gifts. You know, oh, this one's more important than that one and that one. They know all of that type of stuff.
We put people on a pedestal.
Oh, yeah, the preacher, pastors, he's up here.
That's
But this lady, her gift was the gift of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had never seen this gift actually utilized before. And I have to admit, early in my ministry, I didn't actually rank it all that highly. But that's until I saw this lady utilized this particular gift.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this lady, her husband actually worked in the oil and gas industry. So they were well reimbursed. She actually came from America. But this gift of hospitality, she had a very outgoing type personality.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to go into the town. And she simply said to almost everyone she met, look, come to my house. This is what we're doing. And people would come along, and she would just simply have some tea and bickies, they would actually do some crafts together, is all that they'd do. Her gift was the gift of hospitality.
Yes.
But, you know, the thing that really amazed me about Lillian was that she actually had the ability to be able to make people feel incredibly comfortable. And that's the gift of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
People would come to her house, and when she was there, she'd start talking to them about her faith. And, you know, the thing that absolutely blew me away was this lady who saw herself as only having one gift and who wasn't rated all that highly as far as the gifts are actually concerned. I actually started, after about halfway through that year, I started going to her house and doing a pastoral visit to her house 2 and 3 times a week. And why would I do 2 or 3 times a week? Because I knew full well, and she knew why I was there as well, 2 or 3 times a week, because she knew I knew that she would be talking to people about faith.
Mm.
And people had questions they wanted to answer. This was one of the greatest openings that I could possibly imagine. And, you know,
the gift of hospitality.
The gift of hospitality. Mm. I thought, wow, what a fantastic gift to actually have.
You came to appreciate it because you saw it in action.
I did.
There are so many other gifts and skills and abilities and ways that we can use what God gives us. He gives everybody, I believe he gives everybody who gives their heart to the Lord something that they can use in the service to him.
Yes.
And he wants us to. I really love what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:8-11. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. I'd love to have the gifts
of
healing.
These are talents, if you like, that have been given by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
To people, to everybody in the church.
And sometimes you might only have access to that 1 or 2 times in your life as well, because it can come and go. It's not necessarily going to be with you all the time.
Yeah.
It says to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another types of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues or languages. And so, you know, here's a list of different gifts and talents or gifts of the Spirit, really, because they're spiritual gifts. They're spiritually empowered, if you like, by the Holy Spirit, if we're going to work gifts of healing and miracles and even to have strong faith. So, you know, I reflect too, Pastor Gary, that when Christ breathed on his disciples before he ascended to heaven, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until they were fully surrendered through faith and prayer that the gift was received in fullness.
Yeah.
They totally surrendered. God was uppermost. Mm. He was always in their hearts, in their minds, in their prayers, in their supplications. And then this fullness of the Holy Spirit in their life was revealed, and they went out and spoke the gospel, and hundreds, thousands were converted in a day. They brought healing to people, all of these amazing gifts. But there's two aspects, isn't it? One, I suppose they receive the gift, they trust in God, and they surrender, and then he's able to work mightily through them, mightily through them. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is about Dorcas.
Okay.
Dorcas. And
so who is she?
So it's in Acts 9:36-42, it says, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple, she was named a disciple, named Tabitha.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. And this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did.
Here's another one talent person.
That's right, just one. But she used it, and it multiplied. She didn't just use it once, because she actually had died, and the women were crying and saying to the disciples, look at the beautiful garments and the tunics that she made for us. And they were so sad and crying. She'd done so much to bless the community, and she died. And they wanted to show the disciples all the beautiful things that she'd done for them. And so, yes, perhaps one talent here, good works and charitable deeds, and she was she was raised up from the dead to continue that good works and charitable deeds, which is lovely.
But, you know, Lindy, one of the things I'm just really conscious of is the way that it is actually so easy to depreciate a gift like Dorcas actually had. Now,
yes.
her gift is being able to provide certainly clothing for those who were less fortunate than herself.
Yes.
Now, and I'm just so conscious that within the church, it's so easy to simply see some gifts as being they're the all important ones. You know,
yes.
I've actually said to my churches in times past, I've actually asked, I've said, look, what are the most important spiritual gifts that an individual, a church needs? Mm-hmm. And they'll throw up, you know, a few things onto the board. You know, there's always the preacher will go mm-hmm. up there. There's the teacher, there's the prophet, the healer. You know, these are the administrator. They're the really, and I just keep on asking them, you know, let's push, you know, a little bit more. Let's go a bit deeper. And you know, the suggestion that I've actually made to quite a number of churches is that there are actually two gifts that I believe rank above all others.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe those two gifts are actually the gift of encouragement and the gift of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
They are actually spiritual gifts. Now, why are they actually so important? Do you know, I've actually seen evangelists do a wonderful job, and evangelists do a marvelous job. They're able to preach the gospel. They're able to bring people into the church. But if the church doesn't have the gift of encouragement and hospitality, guess what happens?
Absolutely.
The people are straight out to where they actually came from.
Absolutely.
But you know, Lindy, I've actually seen churches where the gift of encouragement and hospitality has been utilized by individuals within that church, and as a result, the church has grown even without the preaching of an evangelist. Now, I'm not trying to depreciate the evangelist here, but you know, Lindy, as I look at this, I just simply turn around and say, hey, there's something very beautiful that's actually happening within the church when it's actually those who have been empowered by the Holy Spirit are the ones that are actually doing ministry. And it's not necessary the celebrities that are actually
seemingly celebrities. Look, I totally agree with you, Pastor Gary. And the thing is, if a person is willing, whatever gift and talent they find that they are, and normally it's something that you really enjoy and you love.
Yes.
You know, that
yes.
hospitality. You enjoy
yes.
cooking, preparing meals,
yes.
setting a beautiful table, inviting all those that you know to come and enjoy it. And those that have that gift of encouragement to encourage others, to pray with them, to bless them and all of those things, it creates a totally different atmosphere.
It does.
You're right. You can preach, you can teach, you can speak all your light truths, but these are some gifts that might be seen as lesser gifts, but are just as important in the body of Christ.
Oh, they're absolutely vital. But look, Lindy, let's come back in just a moment. Let's come to some music. This is Michael Card, and he's singing El Shaddai. Please enjoy this wonderful hymn of faith.
El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, Erekim Kana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham, and by the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erakam Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people failed to see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand that your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your Son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erakam Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erakam Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
And that was El Shaddai, My Provider, by Michael Card, a beautiful and wonderful contemporary song of faith. Now, folks, look, we've got a really beaut giveaway for you this week. Now, this is a fantastic little book. It's entitled Living Kingdom. Now, this is by Jared Stackelroth. Fresh perspectives on the parables of Jesus. What do the parables, what do they really teach? What really are they saying? The stories he told in his stories, Jesus told parables. They're painting a picture of what living in his kingdom really looks like. And as his followers, we're invited to come into his kingdom. We have 27 contemporary writers share fresh, relevant, thoughtful, faithful, and inspiring, challenging perspectives on those parables to call us into his kingdom and to equip us to live within us. Each chapter includes questions for group discussion or personal reflection. You know, folks, this is one of those books that will encourage you and will allow you to grow in faith. I would encourage you, if you are looking for something whereby you might be able to grow in faith, then why not pick up Living Kingdom? This is totally free, and there's no cost to this book at any time. Now, look, folks, if you would like your own copy of Living Kingdom, all you need to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 0488 80811. 0488 80811. And in your text, all you've got to do is to put the code SA 425, just five digits in a row. That'll come through to our robot. Our robot will come back to you, ask you just a few questions so that we can get this book to you in the fastest way possible. SA425, five digits in a row, and text that to 0488 808 11, I can guarantee you, you'll come to really appreciate this particular book. I recommend it to you. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Pastor Gary and also with Lindy Sparing. And this week we've taken as our theme radical teachings from the parables of Jesus. And indeed, that's exactly what they are. And this week and today we've taken as our theme one of the parables of Jesus. That's the parable of the talents. This is something that we certainly believe is a real challenge to the person I would call Joe Average, the person who sits in the pew. And you know, it's so easy to rely on the paid professional to do ministry. And yet, you know, as I read the Word of God, the people who are most frequently complimented are actually those who are utilizing their gifts but are not paid professionals. Love the way the Scripture does actually present this. Lindy, look, we've got about 5 minutes left. Can you just bring it together for us?
Look, this is a fairly powerful parable that teaches us that, like the three servants, we do not all have gifts of the same degree. And God just expects us, with whatever gifts that we have, to use it to further his kingdom. It will grow as we use it. I have a friend who is very quiet and shy and normally not one to get up the front, and yet she took the challenge to get up the front and to pray up the front of church the first time. And after that, she felt more empowered, more able to do that more often, and more able to pray with others as well. Yeah. And so whatever we're called to do, if it's part of what we're able to do, or if we recognize we have this talent, we need to use these gifts that we receive from God, these abilities, these whatever, our influence, anything that we can do to help further God's kingdom. And when you start to do that, you know, look, I didn't start out as a public speaker. Yes, I've got a bit of an outgoing personality, but there was no way I was going to be speaking up the front of churches.
You started as chaplaincy in aged care, didn't you?
I did chaplaincy when I was working in one of our schools. I did it in my long service leave because I felt called to it. But I was invited by one of my colleagues, John Nichols. He's passed away now. He said, would you please come and speak at my church, this little inner city church in Victoria, Auburn? I was like, oh, I don't know about that. But that was sort of the first thing, and I did do it, and I'm quite sure the first time I spoke it would have been a bit challenging for some. But I did it more. I got asked more, and I didn't necessarily publicize it, so I believe God was in that because people would hear, and then I get asked more and hear. Same in South Australia, I get asked to speak. But I didn't start out that way. It took time. It took courage. It took God's spirit in me.
It took a step of faith, didn't it?
It took a step of faith. And so it doesn't matter what talent that you might have or what ability that you might have. And as you said, some of the people in the church who really change the whole atmosphere and who really reach out to the community aren't necessarily those who seem to be more in the public eye.
And look, you know, I affirm what you're saying there totally. You know, I really appreciated another church that I was actually at. We had a seniors prayer group that occurred certainly every midweek. It only happened during the school term because grandpa and grandma duties took effect at the other times. But you know. One of the things that really stood out to me was that one of the ladies in that particular group had a ministry, and her ministry was actually making cards. Now, we live in a day and age yes. where everyone actually just sends, you know, some mass-produced something, if they send anything at all. Mm. More likely, it's just a text message, which is rather impersonal. But her ministry was actually making and creating cards. Every time we actually met, she'd bring along two cards. And she had handmade them herself, and there was 20 or so people in that that particular group. We'd pass the card around, and we would actually identify. We'd say, "Okay, who needs some encouragement this week?"
Oh, lovely!
The encouragement this week, and then we would send the card around the 20 people while we had our hour and a half meeting there, and everyone would just simply write a message to this individual. And then one of the people there, not necessarily the pastor, but one of the people there got allocated to personally go and deliver that card.
Oh, you didn't mail them, you delivered
it. Didn't mail them. It was actually hand-delivered to the individual. Beautiful. And not the same person every single week. And, you know, I absolutely thought that was one of the best ministries I actually saw. It was just so simple. Someone had hand-created a card, something that nobody had actually expected. 20 people had written a word of encouragement on there. Someone had gone along and visited people, and it was just all so simple. It was a gift of encouragement. Do you know, more and more and more, what I'm becoming convinced of today is that in our lives, in our churches, in our homes, in our businesses, the most powerful gift is, in fact, the gift of encouragement, because we're living in a world right now where encouragement is something that is simply not there. People are not being encouraged.
And if it's done spiritually through the power of God, it does make a big difference in people's lives.
It does.
And hospitality, there's so many people who are struggling. It's nice to reach out to them, perhaps provide a meal for them and just love on them through the name of Jesus.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. Look, folks, it has come to the top of the hour. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, I just want to say thank you for those who we've had the privilege of sharing with today. Lord, there may be somebody who's saying, "Hey, Lord, use me." Lord, they may not be totally clear in their own mind about the gift that you've given to them, but Lord, I just pray that you might open the doors, that you might direct, that you might just lay on their mind where they can powerfully minister with the gift that you have given to them. Lord, I just pray if that person, if they want to minister, that indeed you might fulfill your promise in their life to equip them. Lord, these things I just ask and I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Well, my friends, it does look like our time's up for today. Thank you so much for joining Pastor Gary and Lindy Sperring on Drive Time. Big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when Emily and Naomi will be sharing on the same subject, but in the usual Friday 1.5 hour format. This is a really beaut format. Love what Emily and Naomi are doing. Really look forward to your joining us again. But until then, please remember Christ said, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you."